The Pat Kenny Show.
With the Jaguar E-Pace. Beautiful by design and dynamic to drive. Delivering performance that is unmistakably Jaguar.
This is News Talk.
Now, there's no better review than not to read the paper or go online to a blogger. It's listen to the people who've actually been to the show themselves.
The attention to detail really brought that era back
exactly.
to life.
Everything about the show resonates with me from growing up. Also, I work in the docks. All the witticisms and the crack. Absolutely evocative, yeah, that's the word. Yeah. An absolute must for all dubs to come and have a look at. An amazing production.
Some really good dialogue. They really captured the 80s really well. The music is brilliant.
It really was a fabulous show.
I loved it.
Very authentic.
And because my dad would be from Meathwall as well, so it kind of brings back memories.
Reaction there to the Abbey Theatre production commissioned by Dublin Port, which is currently underway as part of the Dublin Theatre Festival. It's called Last Orders at the Dockside, and it's a play awash with songs, sharp Dublin wit and tales of life on the docks. The critically acclaimed playwright behind all of this is with me in studio, Dermot Bulger. Good morning and welcome.
Hello, Pat.
Tell us about the provenance of this play, because I mentioned Dublin Port were behind it.
Well, Dublin Port were behind it, and the time this plays, if you go back to the 40s, 50s, 60s, when my father was a sailor. The port stretched, or the unloading of ships stretched all the way up to the customs house, and it all happened in public view, and it was very much part of the city. You actually had men gathered at reeds, as they were called, which were hiring firs, very, very early in the morning, and you needed to have enormous antennae to know what company, coal companies or shipping companies were hiring, where to go, if you could get work.
And would the lads be keeping a weather eye out to sea and see what was in the bay? And
they
what
would scatter on Butt Bridge, and they'd look down, but also they would go to pubs, and the pub is set in a pub. It's the last pub on that stretch of quays. It's set on, and they would gather at 7:30 in the morning in those early houses for war of dock, and old dockers would cycle around and come in with news. Now, by the time the port began to retreat behind stone walls, and in 1980, when this play is set, and set in the night that Johnny Logan wins the Eurovision Song Contest, it's nice to have something positive about Europe, yeah. You know. But it's actually the port has retreated. They're actually the bin trucks are filling in Dublin Bay to make more wharfs. It's moving forward and forward away. And I think that Dublin Port commissioning this play and other plays and other artworks is them trying to bring the port back into the city, because in some ways at the time it was
now, the
treating.
Port is a very different kind of beast than it was then. I mean, there is still some unloading of raw cargo, but most is containerized. It's either roll on, roll off, or the containers are put directly onto the ships using these massive cranes. Back in the day, it was very, very different.
Everything was by hand, and a docker's hook. The expression I kept hearing was that someone was as crooked as a docker's hook. It was the expression I heard. And you needed your hook, but also you needed your button, because it was unionised. And in at first it was just very, very casual. Then 1946, 47, they brought in buttons for union members, and nobody could be picked at those reeds unless you were a union member. And when all the button men were picked, and the buttons were passed down. But when this play is set, that whole thing is dying out. And suddenly containerisation meant that a way of life for communities in Ringsend and East Wall and the Sheriff Street Dockers, as people keep reminding me, suddenly they couldn't pass those skills on to their sons. And it's in that time in 1980, when Ireland's on a total cusp of change. Charles Haughey has become Taoiseach, has told us in his Shave short that we're living beyond our means. The family planning bill that is winding its way through, that will eventually, a few months after the play is set, allow a woman, if she has the money, to go to a doctor and pay for a prescription, which she might then find a chemist to be able to fulfil.
She had
to be married, yeah. And so you actually had, and nowadays we have a wonderful, somebody said, one of the reviewers said they liked the play, but they actually felt, they wondered would it resonate with a contemporary audience. To understand like the joy of the gay marriage referendum, to understand the recent abortion referendum, to understand all those changes, you need to go back to this time to when a young man like Declan Flynn was beaten up and killed in Fergus Park for being homosexual in 1982. You need to go back to those terrible bitter strifes of when one society was changing, a new society was emerging, and so it explores a part of the history of the docks that isn't glamorized or romanticized, but but that time when Ireland was really, really changing.
Some people got access to condoms, the students in Trinity College.
You actually went in and it was a vending machine with a little bit of a logo that said, this chewing gum tastes like rubber, and then you knew you were in the right spot.
That was the code.
But also down the docks, of course, because a certain amount of bunkering out, as it was called, was part and parcel of the thing. Hector Gray said he didn't mind the old days when it came in by hand, because the actual, they just bunkered out a few things, whereas when it came in by container, the whole container got bunkered out. But the actual, I mean,
this was what you might call shrinkage.
Yeah, so down the docks, things one could find things, but like it is, but also, I mean, they're not all dockers. There's a young nurse in the play. My late wife was a nurse, and she trained as a nurse at that time, and all of her friends wound up in Baghdad. In some hospitals in Baghdad, half the nurses were Irish, half the staff were Irish. In Saudi, that hasn't changed. Irish nurses are still treated badly. Yeah. So you know, there's all these, and inflation is rampant. There's industrial strife. There are strikes. When I was researching it, there was a strike every second month. Yeah.
Now, was there family rivalry? I mean, were particular fans or Northside Dockers and Southside Dockers?
There was a lot of rivalry between the two sets of Dockers, and it's quite funny because they're all sitting quite happily in the Abbey now these nights, and there's people coming into the Abbey that I think have never been in the Abbey before, and that's lovely. But they used to have sing-offs between the Northside Dockers and the Southside Dockers in pubs, and they would vote on and they'd buy applause on what songs were best. But there was a sense that the Rings and Dockers did a lot of shovelling coal, and they sort of felt that the fellas on the north side were a bit shy of hard work like that. And the fellas on the north side felt that the Rings and Dockers were a bit infested with that sort of disease that spreads all the way out from Rings End called snobbery. And so there was, in fact, there's been great debates about building a Dockers Heritage Centre, but nobody can agree on what side of the river it should be on.
Your own heritage, yeah. You mentioned your father was a sailor, and he sailed during wartime.
Yeah, and I wanted to also tell in the play the story of things like the Nordstrand bombings, which is not really talked about, and also those small Irish ships that sailed to Lisbon during the war. My father's ship, the Eden Vale, with the Wexford steam packet, was only the size of six cars put together, but they were the only ships we had left, and those fellas sailed out. The British ship sailed in naval convoy in blacked out with the destroyers. Yeah. The Irish ship sailed
lit up and flagged.
Unarmed, and basically your chances of survival was depends on whether the guy from the Luftwaffe had got a B of a C in geography and understood his flags, because basically if they saw the Irish flag...
But your father sailed to places like Lisbon. Now, Lisbon was a centre of intrigue in World War II, because it was neutral... And the Germans were there, and the British were there.
Every second person was a refugee or a spy. Yeah. But it was the place where the Americans could sail into. And you would go over and you would get a cargo from an American ship. But you mightn't meet the American ship. And, of course, dockage fees were high. So you might come back. It was about getting vital national supplies. And I asked my father for it. My father never talked about the war, because he was bombed four times. And many of his good friends died in that war and died in those ships. They're forgotten now. But I asked him what he brought back on his last trip to Lisbon, vital national supplies, and he said it was all they could find were sheets of cork for Guinness bottles, for the stoppers for Guinness bottles, and altar wine. So every nation has their own vital national supplies.
Now, how did you go about doing the research? I mean, you had your own family history to look into, but I mean, your father was a sailor, not a docker.
My father was a sailor, and there was a certain division between the dockers and the sailors, and there wasn't a certain amount of friction. So a lot of it was just talking to people whose family were from the docks. And the docks, I mean, at one stage, were 2,000 men turning up every morning looking for work on the docks. It's down to around 400 by the time my play happens. Talking to people without stealing their stories, but stealing those small little sort of anecdotes and sort of walking them in, and also reading newspapers. And also, I lived through it. The play is also about the first generation to get free second level education in Ireland, and suddenly you had, amid all the collapse of an old regime, you had people like me coming out of school for the first time. And in 1977-78 you have bands like the Blades and Rings End, the Asterix and Fingless. I remember going into, there was a magazine called In Dublin being set up by John S. Doyle, and he was actually sleeping under the desk in the office above Beauties.
That's John S. Doyle, who still does the paper. papers on RT.
Yeah. And Hot Press began, and sort of, and all these magazines, McGill sprang up, and there was a sense that there were Neil Jordan set up the Irish Writers' Cooperative with some other writers. I set up Raven Arts Press. There was a sense that, that there was a new generation making themselves heard. So it was a very exciting time to be alive. You, you remember this, Pat. You remember the debates,
indeed.
And you remember like when this is just a few months after the Pope came to Ireland and walked on the kissed the ground and walked on the women, and you actually have that last sort of bastion of Catholicism breaking down. You actually have, so the play is about the docks and the history of the docks, but it's also about that time in.
And at this point, you've got containerisation coming. You've got a reduction in jobs, the streamlining of the port activity. But even then, the IFSC was only a gleam in Charlie Haughey's and Dermot Desmond's eye.
Absolutely, and you actually so you have. I mean, at that time, the East Link Bridge isn't built. So you can imagine how desolate and dark the actual point. I mean, it's funny because the Eurovision wound up being held in the point just around 10 years later, and Riverdance happened. But at that time, the point is just a derelict building.
Yeah.
The Stack Sea, which is a beautiful building that is destroyed. There's so much, and people like Tony Gregory, he's just a community candidate. He's not in the Dáil. People are calling him a bank robber and a communist and everything else. But they're trying to say there has to be something put in place for these communities that are, and now are they'll be swept away. And so there are communities just being wiped out, and those communities are still cling on, and Ringsend is a great place and East Wall is a great place.
And you have to look to people like Harry Crosby.
Absolutely, who came along and transformed that area. And it's weird because I was actually writing this play on Bloomsday, and actually I was meant to give a speech in one of these big financial services centres down there, and I forgot about it. It was a speech on Joyce, and they phoned me and said it began 5 minutes ago, and I said, put the support act on. And so I got in a taxi and I went down, and it's quite weird from going to this. The docks in those days looked like the Luftwaffe had bombed it. You know, it had fallen down in decay, and suddenly I was in the middle of all these gleaming office blocks talking about James Joyce, and it was like time travel. So it's been amazing. But if you want to understand where that Dublin has come from, I think you need to go back and you need to understand the 1980s as well.
Yeah. And you say people who don't go to theatre regularly or who've never been to theatre are now flocking to the Abbey and really enjoying a good night out, because often the criticism of theatre is it's worthy but maybe a bit dull sometimes. This is an entertainment.
And we deliberately made it so we have George Murphy, that singer who won Ireland's Got Talent, who's a wonderful actor as well as a singer. We have Lisa Lamb, and we have people like Jimmy Small from a great singer. So the play is a wash with song, because every night I remember down the docks was a wash with song as well. And so it is. There's like a play, but there's also an entertainment. And I think that people should go to the theatre and they should be entertained. And they
so
should
how long do you have as a run in the Abbey? How
it
long
runs
will it go?
On until the end of the month. It runs until I'm very bad with dates, but I think the there's 2.5 weeks
left. I
think
the 26th of October it finishes.
And it's just been great fun.
And tickets start at only €13. That's at the lower end and all the way up then. And you can find booking information on abbeytheatre.ie. It's called Last Orders at the Dockside. Huge entertainment. And its author, Dermot Bulger. Thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
Thank you.